Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
Welcome back to SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. So since we launched this Indigenous Voices segment, this First Nations segment, this We're Still Here segment, this amazing segment that doesn't have a brandable, catchy name just yet, it has become one of the most popular features we've ever done on this show since we've been on the air here since the late 70s. And I've been really honored to be a part of this segment as it becomes, I believe, Julie, we are the first, this is the first national radio show Indigenous segment?
National radio show Indigenous,
well, mainstream.
So
mainstream,
it's all the more special to do our first edition with all of us together here in the SiriusXM New York City studios, 200 stories high above Gotham in the Howard Stern Tower. I am so glad to be doing this together in person for the first time. If you know the segment, you know Julie Franchella, an activist, artist, writer, and veteran mental health professional. Over 28 years of experience working with complex trauma in the clinical field, Julie served as executive director of a domestic violence center and 13 years as a clinical caseworker at a residential treatment center for Indigenous youth and families. She's an enrolled member of the Ojibwe of Botchewana First Nation Reserve and currently works with First Nations University of Canada and is a professor at Durham College. It is a great pleasure, Julie, to have you here in studio.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here in studio with you.
Thank you. Also joining us, because he just got off a plane a few hours ago, Simon Moya-Smith is an Oglala Lakota and Chicano journalist. He's a contributing writer at NBC News and TheNation.com. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Your Spirit Animal is a Jackass, and he's an adjunct professor of Indigenous Studies at the University of Colorado, Denver. It's good to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you, man. It's been a while.
I haven't seen you since before the pandemic.
You look great.
It's only been Zoom. Thank you. I feel great because we have a very special guest that you have brought along with us.
We do.
I would like to welcome Ray Thatcher, who is not just Simon's partner, who's made the journey. She is the first Alaska female native to graduate from the Naval Academy. It's a great pleasure to have you with us, Ray.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I got to start by saying you're a pilot. And you're a hunter. How did you wind up with Simon? I don't understand.
Good fry
city
bread.
Boy, yeah.
It's a good old Tinder.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I was on my way back here, as a matter of fact. And I was swiping and she was swiping and I never left New Mexico after that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
One of the topics we always talk about but never get around to is you guys get asked all the time, are you allowed to date people who aren't Indigenous?
Is that mostly what it's like, are we allowed to date white people?
Yeah. You we'll really get asked this.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Like you're allowed? I don't understand. What do they think the rules are?
Well, historically, at least in Canada, women who were native would lose their status as an Indian if they married a non-Indian person. However, men would be able to keep their status. So that's one of the reasons why that question, I think, is asked, at least in Canada.
There's like blood quantum, too. You know, it's kind of like people want to keep as much Indigenous blood as we can.
Right.
But you've dated white guys, and I don't think anybody had a problem up there, right, in Alaska?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, did they? Okay. Oh, okay.
Really?
Never mind. Okay. So you dated white guys when you were in the Navy?
Yes. Okay. I was definitely poo-pooed on.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
By who?
Family members, cousins, etc. You know, the community. There are certain members in the community that you're expecting that from. I was a little surprised when some of my closer family members looked down at it. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not going to care anymore.
Mm. Wow.
Well, and I've dated white people and white women, and it's usually their dads and their uncles that have a problem with me. Mm. So the girls are fine. Mm. They're liberal as fuck. And they're like, cool, you're native. I love it. But it's the dad saying, so what's your problem with Columbus?
Yeah. Oh, no way.
What's your problem with Thanksgiving?
Well, I got a message, one of the callers whose daughter was... One of the callers who was saying all of these things about, you know, he was so concerned about, you know, the plight of indigenous people. The daughter's boyfriend all of a sudden listened to it, mm-hmm. and he went out on this racist rant against native people.
It happens, man.
Yeah, and the caller said, I'm so glad that I called because now I know that my daughter's boyfriend is a racist, and she broke up with him.
Wow.
So you're changing worlds out there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I find it fascinating, and it's such a pleasure to have you with us. And congratulations, Simon, on winning the dating lotto.
I did.
I want to turn to some more unpleasant matters because I got to say, there's so many stories that don't go national that we don't hear about the community, both positive and negative. And here's one that's kind of dark. I mean, we already know that Indigenous people are one of the most vulnerable communities for all kinds of social ills, but that includes scams.
Right.
That includes these predators and this fake Arizona rehab centers that are targeting mm-hmm. and totally scamming indigenous people from all over the country. Julie, this is a story that I saw a little bit about the news about it, but it's really scary. Hundreds of natives have been targeted by scammers in the Phoenix area, yeah. and it's leaving people broke. What is the play that they're pulling here?
Well, basically, you know, a lot of these scam type people are realizing that there's this vulnerability in indigenous communities. And so they're showing up, you know, sometimes in the you know, typical white van offering food, offering, you know, resources, offering rehab, and then taking these people, driving them out to, you know, hundreds of miles away, and then sometimes leaving them there, or they have these pop-up rehab centers. They're not really rehab centers. Mm-mm. And then they're just abandoning these indigenous people. And oftentimes, you know, they go missing after that. But also, they're getting money from Indian Health Services, the government, and all of that. So they're making, you know, millions of dollars off of these poor indigenous.
That's it. It's the American Indian Health Program is something that I think
Medicare,
most people
Medicaid.
Don't know. Please tell us about it.
It's a Medicare Medicaid scam. So I got a phone call, and where we live in New Mexico, it's about 2 to 3 hours to Gallup, and so the Navajo Nation is one of the biggest nations. They cover space in New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. And so what they're doing is they're kidnapping these indigenous people who suffer from addiction. Could be alcoholism, could be pills. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking, like you said, they're taken to these pop-up facilities, and then they just leave them there. So they have no means of getting back to the res. They have no means of getting home. So they're just wandering around after being scammed. And so it's kidnapping indigenous people, but kidnapping the most vulnerable. And they're doing it primarily in Arizona right now and in New Mexico.
Now, the Indian Health Program is sort of like, is it like one of these like Medicare Advantage plans, like a Medicaid health plan that I know it allows the providers to bill directly for reimbursement of services.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like they're forcing people to be dropped off of these clinics, and then you can either dangle or pay out of pocket.
Right. Well, it's not exactly through the Indian Health Services, because
Please.
If you go to the facility, that you're going to find indigenous folks there, usually at the front desk. You're going to find the doctors. No, what they're doing is kidnapping indigenous people, putting them in these vans, taking them from, say, Gallup, New Mexico, to Phoenix, Arizona, putting them in these spaces, and then just abandoning them there. And so I pitched this story, and it pisses me off, and Ray can attest to this. I was pacing back in the kitchen because I couldn't get anybody to fucking say, yes, let's do it. And now it's in the New York Times. Yeah. Now they're covering it left and right, but it's still happening.
It's amazing. It's just out in the open. It's just like when you're convinced that you can get away with exploiting a vulnerable population because they have no voice.
Right.
So this goes on, I presume, for decades and decades until the media finally finds out and begins to shine some light on it.
And which pisses me off, because there I am. I got a phone call from a fucking doctor there. She was like, they are kidnapping indigenous people, Simon, you need to get this out there. And I was like, sure. So I hit up all of my friends, as many people as I could, but also getting it past editors. It doesn't matter if there's an indigenous person in any of the newsrooms, you have to get it past the editor. And sometimes they'll just say, well, let us know what happens. And then it's still happening.
But that, you know, Simon and I were talking, and Ray were talking earlier about, you know, this artist who does this artwork, and he was, you know, did this drawing of a blonde, you know, non-indigenous woman gone missing, and all of the microphones and everything, all the attention, and then you see a drawing of an indigenous woman gone missing, and nobody cares. And that is, I think, key here, because it's this whole systemic devaluation of indigenous people, and they're disposable, and hey, we can scam them because nobody's going to pay attention. We can kidnap an indigenous woman because nobody's going to pay attention. So that's what's happening, and it's been happening, I mean, forever,
all our lives.
Well, that's why I'm wearing red, you know, for murdered and missing indigenous women.
For those for those who were listening on the radio, you wore red today because it is Women's History Month.
Women's History Month, and then that's of course why I brag about Ray here, and I wanted her, I encouraged her.
Yeah. So I know that Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs is now getting involved with this. They've actually even begun, through the New Mexico Attorney General's office next door, a Don't Be Taken for a Ride campaign, literally warning people not to accept any transportation from strangers to cross state lines to Arizona rehab centers. That's where it gets really sinister. Mm-hmm. They're literally taking people across state lines, and they're just dumping them.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And they're taking them. And remember, they'll pick them up in places like Gallup, and they'll pick them up around the Navajo Nation, but also in New Mexico, it's a huge population of indigenous people in the Pueblos. So it's not just the Diné. They're taking folks from the Pueblos also. And then they have no means of getting back. Okay. They don't have, if they're in Gallup and they're near the Navajo Nation, and then they suddenly find themselves in Phoenix. They don't know anybody down there. They don't have any money to get back. And so they're abandoned.
I'm guessing this Medicaid fraud got a lot worse during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they found it.
And homelessness, too.
Off.
You know, I don't want to be a cynic, but I wonder if that's why people started to pay attention, because the government was getting, you know, scammed out of all of these millions of dollars.
Maybe.
They didn't care when it was, you know, indigenous people, you know, going missing before, but now
they're missing money.
Wait a minute. We should pay attention here.
That's it.
My cynical thought.
The government got ripped off, so they leaned in.
Exactly. Now they'll start paying attention. Mm-hmm.
This just seems like, not to bring it back to my pet issues, but this just seems like 101 why this country needs single-payer health care.
Yeah.
If we had the same kind of access to care that all of our capitalist allies have, it would be a lot harder to pull off these kinds of scams, because people wouldn't need these supplemental programs.
Right.
To help pay basic medical needs.
Right. Well, with Indian Health Services, people think, well, you guys get free healthcare, you Indians, right? And so we're like, well, hang on a minute. Often it's just it's a clinic, and sometimes it's really shitty. And so if you have a stomach issue, let's say you have a GI issue, you're not going to be able to see a GI doc. There's no specialist in the Indian Health Services, at least here in the lower 48. But Ray, when I went up to Anchorage, I guess Indian Health Services up there is pretty damn good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so for the lower 48, it fucking sucks. Yeah. But up there,
it's first class.
Amazing.
Which is good.
Amazing. This is from a piece in PBS called Fake Arizona Rehab Centers Scam Native Americans from Across the Country, officials warned during investigations. So I'm going to have that on our Twitter page. It is good news, I guess, to know that, the government is tired of them being ripped off. So they leaned in, and this whole Arizona clinic has been shut down. Calls are now unreturned.
We'll take it.
Jesus.
But
man.
God, it just shows how we talk about all the time about how this happens to old people.
But
it's incredible how the lack of legal recourse our indigenous brothers and sisters must have, that this can just happen. And it takes years before anyone notices.
Again, I mean, when it comes to indigenous people, we're the last one they speak of. I mean, again, we talked about this, I don't know how many times on the show, about the diversity list and how we're excluded from it. It'll go black, white, Asian, Hispanic, LGBTQ, women, disabled, elderly, just totally ignoring that we're fucking here.
Don't leave out other comes first, and then you're below other.
Right, but we're still othered. But remember, it was CNN that referred to us as something else.
Something else.
Yeah, they didn't even put us as natives.
Yeah.
And so they just said something else. And so a whole bunch of indigenous artists start having shirts that said something else.
Oh, God.
Proud to be something else.
Robbie Robertson, is proud to be something else.
So. There's a good segment name. Wow. Okay. I needed to be more embarrassed by certain white people, and I achieved it, which happens usually every day.
But here's the thing. Like, there's a really high percentage. I think it's like 42-43% of Americans don't even realize that Native Americans still exist, mm-hmm. that we're still here, hashtag mm-hmm. still here.
That's yeah. ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I was looking up, I don't remember what made me Google it, something about Native American women, and one of the first suggestions that came up was, what were Native American women like? I'm like,
were?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You see, very much past tense.
See,
or Native Americans believed. So, like, when you watch all of the shows, yeah. I don't care if you're watching Modern Family, any of the shows, they'll say Native Americans believe that if you light yeah. sage, it'll take away the evil spirits. Native Americans believed this. We believed that.
Oh, yes. Like the folks in Pompeii believed.
Yeah. Like, we're not...
Long
we're
lost people.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk about us like we're not here. Like, we're not sitting in front of them.
Well, and this is why, like, you know... Okay, Emma Stone's great in this movie. She's fantastic in Poor Things, but it shows why a Lily Gladstone win would have meant so much when people believe this, because they don't know Indigenous people.
Right.
They don't know. It's like 20 years ago, this was not knowing gay people.
Right.
Like, it's great we have Deb Haaland, but you're right. It's all about the representation, but just so people know.
Here's one thing I like to think of. A rising tide lifts all ships, and Lily being... in this rising tide of Indigenous culture and Indigenous representation. And she even said it herself, seeing the Osage Nation on stage playing, mm-hmm. you know, music and drumming, which was against the law until 1978.
Right.
That to me, and I think Lily spoke to this, that is the rising tide. People are, you know, recognizing that we are still here. And our culture is, we're reclaiming our languages, our culture, everything about, you know, what we used to be is now, you know, our elders are slowly leaving us. And so those knowledge keepers being able to pass down their knowledge so that new generations can, you know, reclaim the culture and really be a part of what makes us and this land, our connection to this land, so important and so special. And, you know, I feel really proud when I see representation out there. And again, I say this all the time, but you don't understand how much we appreciate you giving us this.
Oh, please. No,
it's true.
No, but also it's just, she gave a great freaking performance in a terrific film.
Yeah.
I mean, just an important film that, you know, more and more people will see. I liked it much more the second time I saw it. We have to take our first break. We'll be back in just a moment with more with Julie, Simon, and Ray. This is SiriusXM Progress. We'll be right back.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fuglesang, joined by Julie Francella, Simon Moya-Smith, and our very special guest, Ray Thatcher. You know, we were talking a little while ago, Simon, about the Super Bowl, because a lot of folks don't understand why 49ers could be problematic. And we had a really great talk about how all these tribes that had so much of their territory taken away from them during the gold rush.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this leads to this actually kind of nice story with the Yurok tribe, who had 90% of their territory stolen. So we could take the gold out back in the 1800s. What has happened with the Yurok tribe, Julie?
Well, they actually are getting 125 acres of their ancestral land returned to them. And so, again, you said that this land was lost during the 1800s, the gold rush.
It wasn't lost.
Stolen.
They left it at the bus stop. Yeah, it was
stolen. Amidst the gold rush. And so you know, I'm all for that, and that's wonderful, and it's a small step in the right direction. However, I'm going to throw it over to Bad Cop over
fuck
there.
That, man. So that's it's not enough.
It's a feel-good story until you dig a little deeper.
Yeah, until you ask me. Fuck that. That's not enough. Give it all back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Give it all back. Yeah. You know, just it's such a small little sliver. Just like we were talking about, and Ray and Julie and I were talking about the land acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. So if you go somewhere, even in like California, Colorado, whatever,
the Macy's Day Parade.
Macy's Day Parade. They do, you know, land talk about the Lenni Lenape people that used to be right here central where we're sitting in Manhattan. And they'll be like, we want to acknowledge the indigenous people that were here before. And it's like, well, they're in New Jersey right now, and you can give the land back.
Yeah. Right.
So you're acknowledging that you stole something without giving it back.
Yeah.
And that's fucked. It's simple. It's like a bicycle. Yeah. It's like, my dad stole your bike. I'm going to keep it, but I'm going to acknowledge that it was yours.
Uh-huh. That's it. I mean, if you have the chance to be the generation that undoes this past generation fuckery, why wouldn't you want to be the decent white generation that tries to make things right? Why wouldn't you want that to be your legacy?
It's bullshit. Yeah. Ray and I talk about this all the time. We're just pacing back and forth in the house, just like talking shit about.
I mean,
at least
the people in the 1800s didn't care and thought it was their right to take it and steal. Now, if you realize it was wrong and you acknowledge it was wrong and you still don't want to give it back, that's a little bit worse. Yeah. Than
and
just
they think
being
they're doing good. They think they're doing something good for us. Like, oh, I see you. Yeah. I see you. I know that because of privilege and theft of land of your people, but we're not going to give it back.
It's that tokenism, you know, like I used to be invited to every meeting that ever was in, you know, certain jobs because I was the token Native person. And that's all fine and good. But, you know, invite the people, invite more people. But, you know, the land acknowledgement. As soon as everybody started to get that, I was just like, this is going to be one of those things where we don't need to give you clean water on your reserve because we did the land acknowledgement. You know, it's like that tokenism. Like, no, we need real action. Land acknowledgements, that's great. I'm happy that everybody knows whose land we're on. However, that's what so are you going to do about the 1,100 to 1,200 communities, Native communities that don't have clean water still?
Can I ask the dumb optimistic question, though? I mean, a story like this, of course, it's nowhere near 100 acres. It's nothing.
125,
you know, but because a story like this generates headlines, more people, especially more young people, will know about it in terms of incrementalism, which is my least favorite word in politics and justice. Mm-hmm. But doesn't it take little stories like this to build the awareness so the movement can grow and more people can be aware that more land needs to be returned? Like, just hearing, oh, wait, we can give land back? Yeah. Like, that to me is the story more than that this tiny sliver was given back. I mean, if more people are aware that this is something we can just do because it's right, I don't think that idea is going to become less popular with this generation coming up.
And then also seeing what these nations do with the land. You know, somebody was saying, you know, why don't you, well, look at what's happening, I think, in Oklahoma, where the government was saying, we don't want all this money to feed homeless people or to feed hungry children, but the nations will say, we'll take it and we'll feed everybody.
Yeah.
So I think, and that's the thing, right? Like, indigenous people, we're all about community. If you want to kill an indigenous person, take away their community. You know, that's how we exist. And so our community is our neighbors. Whoever we can help, we will help. We don't look at, you know, oh, well, you're not part of my nation. We're not going to help, you know, this person who's homeless and so or, you know, hungry. That's just not the way that we are. When we say all our relatives and all our relations, we mean all our relations.
Yeah.
The animals, the trees, the, you know,
all living things.
All living things. Yeah. And so you put it in our hands and we will feed everyone or we will house everyone. And that, I think, you know, is our way. It's always been
that's the
way.
Kind of pure Christianity that freaks out so many Christians, can I tell you?
Yeah, they call it socialism.
Uh-huh. They do.
Well, you know, but yeah, it's a good thing that the story is published, but I think what, just like George Carlin said, it's important for like kids to read, but what's more important is that they question what they read.
Yeah. Right.
And so I don't think stories like this allow for the unpacking of how the land was stolen.
I agree.
We need to understand, just like reservations, it's such a word that everybody uses, but nobody says, well, prison camp 334, meaning the Pine Ridge Reservation.
198.
Right. So we need to unpack the language. It's not this happy story. All these Indians get 125 acres back.
Wow.
Why was it stolen in the first place?
That's it.
And let's understand that there's a narrative there that they should know as well, beyond this little cutesy narrative.
We have to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment with Julie, Simon, and Ray. This is SiriusXM Progress. We'll be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Welcome back to SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fuglesang, joined by Julie Francella, Simon Moya-Smith, and our very special guest for our Indigenous Hour, Simon's partner, Ray Fancher. It is so nice to have you with us.
Oh, it's definitely an honor to be here.
You know, what everyone loves about this segment is I was saying in the break, the chemistry. There's Julie's warmth and wisdom, and there's Simon's scathing, lacerating brilliance. And I guess when you're at home, you only hear Simon's side of the conversation.
I do.
You must think he's talking to bastards all the time.
Yeah, it's funny when he's working on the segment, everybody's quiet in the house and he's in his office and all I hear is like, hur, meh, hur, meh, 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 comes out all fired up. So it's nice to be here and like actually witness
the whole
dialogue.
Yin-yang dynamic,
yeah,
that takes
absolutely.
Place every week. It's true.
It's
you know, great. Our culture, we teach all about balance. Everything is in balance. So
you and I are striking a balance.
We're in balance, yes.
Well, I appreciate that. For me, it's just all internalized schizophrenia. So I like to see how you guys do it. And also, we're doing this in New York City. It's so great to have you in New York. And I was reminded in the break that, you know, you guys taught me that no one ever talks about how we have such a substantial Indigenous population in American cities. Mm-hmm. It's just, we talk about how they're overlooked in the country, but in the urban centers, they're such a force too.
Yeah, you know, New York City, Manhattan is the Lenape word. And I always say that to people. You know, people are like, oh, hey, where are you from? And you, oh, I'm in Manhattan. And I'll say, Manahata, did you know that that's Lenape? And they're like, I had no idea.
Yeah, it means land of many hills, right? Is that true?
Island of many hills. There's
Island
a few different, yeah. But, you know, and so being in a city where, you know, I think, you look at, there's Little Italy, there's, you know, all different, you know, neighborhoods, or there's, you walk by a church, you walk by a mosque, and there's no real, I've never really come across a city in the United States that has, you know, a space for Indigenous people to worship or to, you know, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a sweat lodge in Central Park?
Right, but you'd think that. I mean, you can get Greek Orthodox this. You can get every kind of restaurant with every kind of cuisine. You can get every kind of religious house for every kind of faith. But you don't really see any kind of cultural center for Indigenous Americans.
I mean, in Battery Park, we have the American Indian Museum, right?
Okay, yeah, that's here.
Yeah, that's a little whitewashed.
But that's also where they massacred the Lenape. Yeah. The Lenape people right there in Battery Park. And if there isn't a plaque, there should be.
Yeah.
I lived here for 5-6 years. I went to Columbia University. I lived in Brooklyn. So I got to know a lot of the Indigenous people around here. And learning about, there was at one point just a block in Brooklyn full of Indigenous people, mostly Mohawk. Some of the Haudenosaunees, they were the ones that built New York.
Yes.
They were the ones that were jumping from beam to beam to beam with fearlessly. You know, of course, God bless them, you know, the Germans and the Italians and everybody who was there working, they were in awe of the Indigenous men just leaping from beam
the
to
tree
beam,
people.
Completely fearless. So there was once a block in Brooklyn that was full Indigenous people. Not anymore.
Wow. I got to say, the cities are seeming safer and safer to me when I read stories like this guy in Washington State on the Flathead Indian Reservation. who just was found guilty in federal court this week of shooting thousands of eagles on the reservation in Montana, just so he could do something that might sound really bizarre to clueless white people like me who don't know about this, but to sell eagle feathers on the black market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a huge black market for eagle feathers, owl, anything related to, you know, indigenous traditions and indigenous spirituality. And he, I guess he pleaded guilty, but this is something that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a $10,000 fine for any non-indigenous person in possession of an eagle feather. And
good.
So, yeah.
Well, because it's outlawed for white people to have eagle mm-hmm. feathers. Even if they go, well, I practice Native American spirituality, and you're like, that New Age bullshit?
No.
But you're not allowed to have, just like Ray, you're not allowed to have ivory in Alaska?
Right.
White people aren't allowed.
White people aren't allowed to get the walrus ivory that, you know, falls off the walrus. Mm-hmm. And if we find it along the coastline or whatnot, indigenous people are able to keep it, mm-hmm. but white people are not.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
But it's also the same thing with art. You know, people, especially since we live in Santa Fe, and fuck, man, we got to talk about that at some point. It's, again, it's like, it's we live in a town with people who have a foot fetish and we're the feet.
It's really
bad. But it's the same thing with art. You it's literally, it's federally, literally illegal to sell any art that if it's not by an indigenous person, you can face federal crimes for that, or, you know, face jail time, as a matter of fact. But they do that still. That's why if you go through Denver International Airport, you will see it's like this, it's grotesque, but they have headdresses and have all like breastplates and chokers, but it says not made by a Native American.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Actually, in the Museum of the American Indian here, they sell sage and sweetgrass.
They call them wands.
I know,
Whole Foods.
But I went in. This
like
is
some
at the
Hermione
this is,
and fucking Harry yeah, Potter
but
shit.
This is at the museum, and I went and I said to the manager of the store, I said, "You know that indigenous people don't sell their medicines, and you're selling sage and sweetgrass." And he said, he didn't say anything. He was a white gentleman. He didn't know what to say. And I said, that's not indigenous.
No, you don't sell it. You have to gift it, or you have to get it yourself.
Gift it, or you pick it yourself.
I wonder if the email he sent to corporate ever got responded to by a bot. I mean, this man's name was Travis John Branson, and he's pled guilty to conspiracy, wildlife trafficking, and two counts of trafficking federally protected bald and golden eagles. They think he killed over 3,000.
Yeah.
And can you just explain, Julie, what is the significance of the golden eagle tail feather? Why does it have such value that monsters like this would try to exploit?
Well, I mean, every nation's different. For our nation, we believe the eagle flies the highest in the sky, and so highest to the creator, closest to the creator. And so the eagle feathers and eagle tails and eagle wings are used in a lot of our ceremony. Mm-hmm. A lot of elders, you know, I have an eagle feather that was gifted to me for being a firekeeper for, we have sacred fires that run for 4 days when somebody passes, and so people have to tend those fires. And so I was given an eagle feather for various ceremony. And so it's very sacred. The eagle is a very sacred animal in our relative, in our culture, mm-hmm. my culture. We call it a durim. That's a clan. I am actually the Migisis clan, the eagle clan. And so that animal is very sacred to our clan and our family. I don't know if it's similar.
But it's an honor to be gifted an eagle feather because they are so sacred. When I Sundance near my res in Allen, South Dakota, and an elder woman, her husband had just passed, and what we call a crown, but it's not a crown, everybody, because, you know, Cherokee princess is bullshit and all that, okay? But it's just, you wear it. So you wear it, and there's an eagle feather on it, and so she gifted it to me, and he attended the Sundance every summer, and so he had just passed, and she gifted that to me.
Wow.
And it's so sacred, and it was such an honor, and I was so humbled by it. But Ray, up there in Alaska, is it the same for the Alaska Natives?
Really depends on which tribe you're talking mm-hmm. about, because I think with us, the raven mm-hmm. is a very sacred animal. They're, you know, tricksters, they bring wisdom, and there's all sorts of, you know, stories and lessons that they teach. So it's, yeah, it depends on what tribe you're talking to.
I guess in this case, we finally found a mascot that the Americans care about.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they don't mind about offensive mascots, but you take the feathers off of one of ours, we'll put our foot down.
Well, the United States did take the American eagle as its logo, but they took it from the Iroquois.
Yes. That's right.
They also took democracy from the Iroquois.
Yeah. Well. They did. Yeah. Fuck that. Oh, by the way, yeah. By the way, I hate it when people say, like, the Greeks gave us democracy. We had that here, jackass. Yes. We had that.
Yeah.
And they were pissed by it, that we had women's councils and two-spirit councils and men's councils and the women.
Well, that's what scares them. I mean, we take the democracy, but let's leave the women in power out of this, okay?
They had 21 Iroquois chiefs at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. and they basically modeled it after
Benjamin Franklin. So excited. He's like, we got to do it like this. They figured it out.
Yeah.
And we don't get any fucking credit.
Yeah, but what they needed to do, they needed to unite these 13 colonies against something. And so what did they use?
The merciless Indian savages.
We have to fight against them to keep our nation.
By the way, for the listeners, it's literally written in the Declaration of Independence. We're referenced as merciless Indian savages.
Yeah. And
a great band name, by the way.
That was my band. That was my high school band name. And there was a gentleman, indigenous man, who wore one of these t-shirts to Disneyland.
That's right.
And he was asked to please either leave or change his shirt. And he said, but this is in the, it says Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And he was asked to leave.
He'd worn the entire text of the Declaration. Declaration on his shirt. No problem.
Yeah. Right.
Just these three words.
And it said referenced right there, Declaration of Independence.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with Julie, Simon, and Ray. Don't go anywhere. This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And welcome back. I want to mention something that looks like a positive story, but, you know, we've talked a lot about Killers of the Flower Moon and how it's woken up a lot of people to a different kind of atrocity. And now, since the release, we've seen these non-Osage headright owners attending the Osage Minerals Council meetings, and they're more or less standing up to ask, how can we return the headrights to the tribe? I mean, this is actually an example of art having a positive effect on the culture and, I think, hopefully on history itself.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we are getting a nod, and it sucks. As a journalist, it sucks that Hollywood's leading the way for me, because I'm going to be a little biased. They're leading the way instead of journalism doing it.
Absolutely.
So everybody's seeing it in the arts, but just like we're seeing in journalism, we are seeing some stories, but we're seeing more representation of indigenous people through Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're seeing with Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah. We're seeing with Reservation Dogs. Yeah. We're seeing it even on Netflix.
Echo. But,
yeah, exactly. Echo. So we're seeing more and more of indigenous people. But I'm still going to say it's not enough.
But you would agree it's the artists and the journalists and the activists who lead the culture until the leaders eventually catch up.
Right. But the sad part is they're still gatekeepers, like in journalism. Mm-hmm. You know, I can pitch all the stories I find or that I want to, but I have to get it past the editor.
Mm-hmm.
They'll shrug their shoulders. I mean, like, no, probably not.
Right.
And then you see no conversation about indigenous people being kidnapped near the Navajo Nation and near the Pueblos.
Right.
You know, you don't see those stories. We need more indigenous editors. We need more indigenous executives so that we can get our stories out there.
And, you know, I think I 100% agree. I do want to say that, you know, as a person who considers himself an artist, that I'm so glad that you know, art is changing, you know, sort of the society and the fabric out there. And the question is, I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon, this happened in the 1920s. The fact that these people are now saying, wait a second, maybe we should give the oil rights back to the rightful owners. They did this because of a film, Martin Scorsese film. You know, it's I'll take it.
I agree I'll that it sucks, it. Simon, but I mean, how many white people know about what happened in Oklahoma to black folks because of HBO's Watchmen series, deciding to film it for the first time?
Right. Well, I mean, they've
If the schools aren't going to do it, at least the artists are picking up slack.
Oh, yeah, man, the school, I mean, seriously, you're not going to find anything more PC than an American history textbook in a high school.
No, exactly. Well, somebody had said on the red carpet, Addie Rohnhorst, who worked on the art direction in the film, she said, they just banned the Killers of the Flower Moon book in Oklahoma, but you can't ban Martin Scorsese. And that's the point.
Oh, that's
you
cool.
can't
yeah.
ban Martin Scorsese. And if he's telling these stories, you know, let's go. Let's, let, you know, what else can we show, you know, the population out there that is going on?
But these are I mean, people who are now 100 years later fighting to return the mineral head rights to the reservation, which means owning any minerals, oil and gas that come from the land. I mean, they're literally saying, how do we give up our profits to make things right with history? This is like Caucasian moral fantasia for me. I love seeing this sort of, this is reparations or the beginnings of it.
Yeah, but here I go.
The beginnings of it.
Right, but oil and gas, I mean, that's the thing. That's what we fought against, you know, especially at Standing Rock. And we're talking about the Keystone XL pipeline and things that are happening up in Alaska. It's like what they do is they poison the water.
Oh, I agree.
Right, and
but,
so...
But that's why they should be given the rights.
Right. But at the same time, I'm an anti-oil and gas indigenous person, right? That's where I stand.
Thank you for your
service. So I'm not going to poo-poo other nations and tribes. They're separate sovereign nations. They could do whatever they want. But I'm not going to support anything that has to do with extraction of oil and gas on indigenous lands, because that's when we talk about murdered and missing indigenous women, and they set up these man camps, and then you have all this testosterone, and then the number of women and LGBTQ go missing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I don't support it.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all connected.
It is all connected.
Right. Absolutely. I worked with girls that were, you know, taken and prostituted out of these, a lot of these camps, and girls that end up on what we call the back pages. The back pages is like a service for men to call and,
right, like
you know, an escort.
Website back page for escorts. Yeah.
And so indigenous girls as young as 12, 13 years old would end up on these back pages. And so I'm 100% in agreement with these man camps coming in, and that's what we call them. But the fact that there are non-Indigenous people out there feeling something and saying that, wait a second, I didn't know that this is how we got the land, oil rights, head rights, you know, how do we, and they're showing up at these meetings. The fact that they're showing up at the meetings says to me that, you know, at least they're listening and at least there's some humanity there. And they're saying, you know, how do we give these back to their rightful owners?
2,000 different head rights. And of that, only about 25% of it are owned by people with any ties to the Osage Nation.
Yeah. So, you know, again, right? Like, it's very complicated. It's not, you know, black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You'll get me fired up with oil and gas talk.
I know, but that's what I appreciate.
Okay.
You know.
Same thing when it comes to mascots, and you have the Seminoles in Florida, and the Seminole Nation said they gave them permission. And I'm like, you know that reflects poorly on everybody. Like, they show up in headdresses. You guys don't even have fucking headdresses, you Seminoles.
Yeah.
Come
exactly
on,
right.
Man.
The Plains Indians are the only ones that wore headdresses.
Oh, they used to put headdresses on all of them, even up in Alaska. They would have just like, oh, here's an Indian, and they would put it just for photos.
Yeah. For photos,
just like a sombrero on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah, oh my
exactly.
God, man. That pisses me off, too.
Hey, I think it's time for a Did You Know in our final minutes, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I learn so much from you guys when we do this. Ray, you're invited to jump in on this if you want. Simon, do you want to kick us off? You are such a font of information for clueless Caucasians such as myself.
Okay, I'll do this really quickly. Well, since you mentioned it, there's some laws on the books that are being, you know, taken off the books because they're that ridiculous. Up until like about 15 years ago, there were 5 Indigenous people weren't allowed to be found standing together in Boston. So that was against the law. Yeah, that was against the law.
Like,
and then
vagrancy laws?
Just
like
5 Indigenous people weren't allowed to stand together in Boston, and that was on the books. Really quickly, if I can brag about Ray real quick, this is so dope. Did you know that as a Chicano, we would fill the car. Our parents would throw us into the cars. And I grew up in the back seat of a tiny car with tons of cousins. They did that in prop planes up there with Ray, because that was one of the only ways to get up to her village. So remote. So that's why she's a pilot. She's a hunter and snowmobiles and all that stuff.
He was telling us about this during the break. Like, this was your childhood. You were just thrown in the back of a prop plane like it's a station wagon.
It was the more comfortable spot. You wanted to be in the cargo.
I love it.
So you never really had a chance to get scared. You were socialized to treat flying as normal.
Yeah.
When did you become a pilot? How old were you?
I started sitting up in the front with my dad when I was about 8.
Amazing.
I couldn't do that now. I'd be too terrified.
So speaking of Alaska, So did you know that in my culture, you're not supposed to whistle at the Northern Lights?
That's in mine as well.
Yeah. Because with us, if you whistle at the Northern Lights, you're asking them to come down and take your head off and use it as a soccer ball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Ours is a little different.
What's yours?
Don't whistle at the Northern Lights or at night, mm-hmm. because you're calling those are the ancestors, mm-hmm. and they'll come and they'll take you with them.
Okay. And also the dark things. When
dark
you whistle
things.
Whistle at night, you don't know what you're calling toward you.
That's yes, do not whistle at night.
Wow, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Julie, what have you got?
Another one is, did you know that many Native American tribes practice a sophisticated form of agriculture, something called the Three Sisters? And the Three Sisters were corn, beans, and squash, and they grew them together. And so that actually affected the soil, so it was sustainable soil. And the beans would climb the corn stalks, mm-hmm. and then the squash would spread out over the land, and it would make the land more nutrient, the ground more nutrient. And so that was a sophisticated form of agriculture.
I had no idea.
The Three Sisters.
I did not know.
Yeah.
Simon, what else have you got?
Oh man, there's a ton. As a matter of fact, I always wanted to mention this, but I'm going to pass it to Ray for this. The Little People. Did you know anything about the Little People? Look them up. It is a fucking frightening story.
The Little People.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're called Ichchinghucks. Yeah, and I normally wouldn't say that back at home, because when you say their name, you're calling them. Mm-hmm. But you have mischievous ones. You have ones that will help. You have ones that will tell the future. And you don't know what you're seeing when you're seeing it, but they'll come and take your children. And when they take your children, they'll bring them into another dimension where time stops.
So they don't age.
Wow. Because we have little people back in Ireland, but they're not quite as menacing as this. My God.
Yeah, there's a crazy story that Simon looked up. There's a news article, I think it was from the 70s.
Yeah, a kid showed back up, like they disappeared. Oh. And then all of a sudden the kid shows up, and a lot of the elders their parents have already passed, but the kid showed up at the same age. Same age.
Man. And it was verified, like the child was able to recollect, like, this is who my mom was, this is who my dad was, this is who my cousins were. And they were all people that passed like 20, 30 years earlier.
I have to ask, why hasn't Hollywood made a terrible movie about this yet?
Oh, eventually they will.
Yeah.
Just like everything else. They'll take and go, oh yeah, we'll take that.
I mean, I had no idea. This is amazing. Ray, it is so great having you join us. Please feel free to join us more often, too.
Absolutely.
Anytime we're doing this remotely on Zoom, just kick him off the mic and feel free.
Thank you.
I'll be like, where's Ray? Ray?
I know.
Simon, what is the best way for our listeners to follow you and keep up with all your many doings?
Mostly on Instagram at Simon Said Take a Pic, or on Twitter or X at Simon Moya Smith.
And Julie Francella, how do we follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Julie Francella.
And Ray, are you looking to pick up followers today, or are you kind of...
Oh, I'm just a guest.
Right.
Thank
on.
You.
It is so great having you both. We love this segment, and thank you so much. I look forward to this every week. Simon, what are you going to be doing for the rest of your stay in New York?
We're going to go back to my stomping grounds, man, in Brooklyn, Park Slope, and going to eat, man, just eat and get fat and happy.
Enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
You're going to have great weather for it this weekend. We got to go. I'm John Fugelsang. Keep it tuned to SiriusXM Progress. Peace.